Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. I hear there's an election going on somewhere.
3 weeks away.
Fox News' Shannon Bream is standing by. Well, Shannon, well, I don't even know. I don't think there's any good way to describe. I think we've run out of adjectives to describe the wackiness of what we have seen thus far. Would you say that's accurate?
I like circus. I've been using the word circus a lot. It feels like lots of sideshows and interesting characters and scary rides sometimes, too.
Right. And distracting things just popping up out of nowhere. And
yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's like a whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Right. Nice to
know. That's a good one.
I mean, you know, I think it works.
Yeah. I'd rather do that ski ball or whatever, you know, where you throw the ball up and it goes up like bowling, but then it goes into the circle and you don't know where it's going to land. That's kind of the way it feels now here at the end. All right. I have a theory. Now, I know that I just want you to apply your journalistic observation to this.
Okay.
But I have this theory that if Donald Trump had, he's depending on the poll that you're looking at, I was just watching Shep's show on the way down here, depending on the poll you're looking at, it's kind of averaging out somewhere around 9, 10, 11 point differential right now nationally. Okay, between Trump, likely voters between Trump and Clinton leading. There is, you know, state by state, even on those, the right now, if you took it today, I mean, even with all those states in question, it's hers at the moment. Mm-hmm. So he's got a tougher, I mean, this is all true, right? He's got a tougher electoral map challenge.
Right.
Okay, now, had he come off of that Billy Bush tape and just said, "Hey, I'm sorry, that was me 11 years ago. I'm a different person now. I've had a number of conversions over these 11 years. They've had a religious one. I've been out. This year has changed me in the way that I look at America, my respect for the hardworking men and women of this country, all stripes." You can even say stripes, because no one knows what that means. and then stayed solely talking about the email scandal. I am convinced he would be either tied or in the lead here.
Well, you know, he did say some of those things. He didn't go as far and, of course, was not as eloquent as you. But he did say some of those things over the last year. I've really changed. I've matured. I've seen this country, and I love it even more than I ever did. So he did say some of those things. But I think when Anderson Cooper pressed him during the debate with the question, "Have you ever done these things you're accused of, forcibly kissing someone or touching someone?" You know, he tried to dance around a little bit, and he was pressed over and over again. And when he finally said no, that, I think, triggered the women who wanted to come forward. It gave them their opening, because now he's on the record saying categorically that he hasn't done this stuff. And these women who may have been holding back, not wanting to be in the spotlight, that was kind of their opening then, because to validate their experience that they say they had, that opened the door for them, I think. And so hindsight's always 20/20, but I think he did some of what you laid out, but not as artfully.
And what to Roe's point, too, I think this whole diversion of talking about how the election is rigged and the dishonest and distorted media is pushing crooked Hillary, that's one of his tweets. He seemed to go on one of those, you know, Twitter storms again, where he was diverting attention in an area that I'm not sure would, you know, people, you ask people if that's, you know, top of their mind right now, would be the issue. And if he had more so concentrating on the latest email and the FBI reveals on Hillary Clinton, it seems like that would serve him better. But again, it's sort of this another example of Trump kind of focusing in areas that perhaps aren't really at the core of where voters are.
He can't quit the Twitter. He can't. And I think that many people in his camp wish he would. Wish they could just keep him off Twitter until Election Day.
Wait, hold on a second, Shannon. What you are suggesting is he became a Twitter quitter. And I think
that
Donald Trump can
hashtag
Twitter quitter.
Twitter quitter.
But he cannot be a quitter, because that would be a loser. That'd be akin to all of these other things that he accuses the whole all of humanity of. And it is amazing to watch his surrogates. Because in the face of all of this, I would like to host the post-election surrogate party at a bar. You know, one of those bars that doesn't
really
have, like no sign outside. Right.
Surrogates for both sides.
For both. Yeah. Oh,
they
yeah.
all are going to need something to drink.
Yeah, and just sit down and go, oh, my God, this stuff. I mean, wouldn't that be a great documentary? Because that is sort of where the circus, yes. speaking of the circus, came from Showtime, mm-hmm. were those books, you know, that were written about where all the surrogates were getting together and talking about what happened in the aftermath. And mm-hmm. I think that would just be fascinating.
I'd watch, for sure.
Yeah.
I would, too.
Yeah. So what do we make of, there's a couple interesting things happening today. Trump is going to be up in Wisconsin. He's fallen behind in Wisconsin. He's got to stop the electoral bleeding here somewhere. So he's going to focus on that. Is the consensus here, though, he's going to have trouble because it is Paul Ryan's state and they're a don't invite him item right now.
They're not BFFs right now. I mean, I don't see them going on vacation together. nobody's going to be godparents to each other's children. Like, this is not a tight relationship. But I think they're both doing what they feel like individually they have to do. I mean, as Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan obviously feels like his obligation is to people's, with their House races and encouraging them to do what they have to do to try to hold on to the House, try to hold on to the Senate. And I think for Trump, you know, he's been very anti-establishment. His people love that about him. They love that he doesn't play with these guys, that he is his own man. So I think that he's only going to throw gasoline on that fire because the people who are passionate about him don't love Paul Ryan. So it's tricky. But, I mean, you talk about the states in the electoral map. I mean, at this point, based on all the polling and data that we've crunched, if Trump were to win, he'd have to hold on to everything that is solidly GOP, leaning GOP. He'd have to get all the toss-ups, which include humongous prizes like Florida and Ohio. He would also have to then pick off states that are leaning Democrat to get to 270. I mean, he's got a huge uphill battle. Not that it's impossible, but, you know, with the WikiLeaks and now this, you know, allegation of quid pro quo between the State Department and the FBI to change the classification on her emails, I mean, nothing really seems to stick with her. And I think that, you know, I can't imagine something that WikiLeaks or anyone else would bring out at this point that would so radically alter the path 3 weeks out. But what if the polls are wrong?
Right. And it speaks to the confidence of the Clinton campaign that they're sending Michelle Obama to a traditional red state of Arizona to campaign for her. North Carolina and Arizona, both states you would think, you know, Republican would win and would be more safe states. But looks like they feel that they are in play right now, that it's really tilting in their favor that much.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they feel like they want this to be a blowout win and they see lots of opportunities. I mean, states like Utah, which hasn't voted for anyone but a Republican presidential contender since 1964. And there's a unique situation going on there with a third-party candidate. But, I mean, that's a state he cannot afford to lose. Georgia, they started early voting today. He's up in most polls. The average is about 5 points there. But the Democrats say they're really hammering the early vote there and think they're going to take a lead in that respect. They're great at the ground game and those kinds of things. So, yeah, there are some red states that are a real problem for Trump, and he cannot afford to lose a single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough uphill battle. But the rig thing, I mean, it personally troubles me because you've got not only a, you know, this notion that when he's losing, he wants to take everybody out with him. And he's got, as you point out, Shannon, incredibly passionate followers mm-hmm. and supporters and. You know, the idea that if it's rigged, you got to do whatever you can to stop this does take people who are on the fringes of that and it gives them the notion that maybe it's okay. Maybe this guy wants me to do something bad. And that is that's a problem. And the thing is that I see no one in the legitimate world of media or of government where, you know, big decisions are made and big bets are made on success, not websites that, you know, it's a, you know, a guy who's got $10,000 into it. I'm talking about big media conglomerates and big government. I think that people mistrust, but there's a structure to them that sort of makes it more difficult for these grandiose conspiracies and the rigging that he claims to have happened to have actually occurred. And you're seeing a lot of Republicans, especially Republicans in states that have Republican governors, Republican secretaries of state, Republican legislatures, who are saying, whoa, 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 don't call into question the veracity of these elections because we're winning them.
Right. And keep in mind, you know that every state runs its own election process. There is no national umbrella that runs this whole thing. So the states, you know, we've got 50 different systems that are doing their own thing. And today you saw House Speaker Paul Ryan come out and say, you know, I've got great confidence in the states to handle these elections with integrity. I think there are a lot of folks out there who want to tamp down this idea that if Trump doesn't win and doesn't win big, that there's some conspiracy against him, because post-election, should he not win and she does, that's going to foment all kinds of behavior that is very difficult for our country to deal with. Getting back together, I mean, we all remember we saw this in Bush v. Gore, and there are people who still stand by their assertion that Gore won that right. election, and they'll never accept Bush 43 as the man who served as president for 8 years. So we know it's very divisive and it's not good, and critics of Trump would say they wish he'd quit sowing those seeds. He's talked about the election being rigged in the sense that the media has not treated them the same way in dealing with their potential scandals. But it now sounds in his language today, talking about widespread voter fraud and all kinds of things. He's actually now talking about the electoral process. And that's a really serious allegation.
Yeah,
it certainly is.
And the reason that the media isn't talking consistently about Hillary's emails is because he keeps doing crazy things. He should take a 2-week vacation and let the email story just dominate. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he goes, if he went away, but he can't do it. He can't get out of his own way. Shannon Bream.
I know. She's just kind of hanging out, you know, like.
I know. It is what it is.
Well, listen, Charles Krauthammer said that he, based on your observations you just made, that Trump needs to be locked in a bejeweled box in the top of Trump Tower until Election Day, and then he can come out.
Thank you, Shannon Bream.
Gonna happen.
Thank you, Shannon Bream, Fox News Channel. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Thanks, you too.